Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your words. Thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for sending us Jesus Christ, who modeled the way to live and the way to be with you. He modeled you to us, Lord. We're grateful this morning, Father. Let us be grateful this morning. Let us be thankful on the week of Thanksgiving, Lord. I pray that you tune our hearts to sing your praise and you help us to remember all the things that you've done for us, Lord. All the things over so many years of your faithfulness, Lord, your kindness to us, your loving kindness, Lord. I pray that you help us to remember those things this week and truly be thankful. I pray that you help us to serve and to give to one another, Father, like you did for us. Bless this meeting, I pray, Father. And I lift up Carrie to you, Lord, whatever she's dealing with. She said she was sick and couldn't hardly get out of bed. So I pray, Father, that you heal her body and help her to feel well again. We're thankful for Carrie, Lord, and all she does for us. And we know that when somebody's sick in the body, it affects all of us. So I pray that you heal her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, amen. I was out last Sunday for a wedding. Thank you, Mr. Murphy, for taking the pulpit and preaching. We had to go to Atlanta for a wedding. Lee's nephew got married, and so we went to go for that. It's a long trek to Atlanta, especially when you get caught in traffic for 2 hours. It was not enjoyable at all. But anyway, we got to go visit with Chris Hyatt at Covenant Life Church, and that was rich, and it was wonderful to be with Chris. Some of y'all probably don't know Chris, but he pastors a sister church, so to speak, in Atlanta, and it's called Covenant Life Church. His pastor was Pastor John Duke, who is Bill's pastor, Pastor Murphy's pastor, right? And so we have a connection with him, and so it's good to be with him. When I came in there, Chris told us immediately, he said, I pray for y'all almost every single week. He prays for New Covenant Church. What was amazing is Lee and I kept visiting, you know, with people that were at this church. They have a lot of older people that go there that have been there for a very long time. And they all knew about us. And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, you're from Starkville. We pray for y'all all the time. And it just blessed me. It blessed me to know that, you know, 5 hours away, that there's another group that's praying for us. If you get a chance, Chris Hyatt is the pastor. And he's on YouTube, and he's got a lot of good messages on there if you ever want to listen to a good message. During the during COVID, Lee and I listened to his messages and the boys when we weren't coming to church a lot, you know, because of that. We were able to tune in and listen to a lot of his sermons, and they were really good. Chris Hyde has got a wonderful testimony, a hard testimony, but it's a wonderful one. So, and he shares it on YouTube, so check it out. While we were walking around that same church and visiting with everybody, it was also shocking to me that everybody there said, so you're from Starkville, so you know Brother Jerry? And I was like, yeah, I know Brother Jerry. I'm telling you, I bet you that happened 5 or 6 times with 5 or 6 different people, young people and old people. I just thought it was hilarious. And everybody said the same thing. Lee will back me up on this. They said, this is his church. This is Brother Jerry's church. And I was like, no. New Covenant is Brother Jerry's church. But apparently I didn't realize that he was there before he came here. I didn't realize that he actually, like, went to church there and lived there. But they loved him. They loved him. And it was amazing to me. How long has he been gone, Mr. Brother Jerry? 4 years. And been gone from that church for 25 years and still has an impact on them. Everybody was just so kind about him and saying how much they loved him. But one member in particular told me this. He said, Brother Jerry, the Jerry Linares, was the most grateful man I ever met. And it just stunned me when he said that. I don't know why. I thought about it after we left. On the way home, I was thinking about him saying that. And I was asking myself, would anybody ever say that about me? Would anybody ever say that about me? Brantley Johnson is the most grateful man I've ever met. But if you knew Jerry, you understand what he's saying. He was. He was, to me, one of the most grateful men I've ever known, but also the most joyful man I've ever known. So that's what we're going to be preaching on today, is gratitude. With Thanksgiving coming up, I want to to share on gratitude. What a great compliment you can give somebody, that he's the most grateful man I've ever known. You think anybody would say that about you? We should long for that. That should be part of what we want to be known, and that should be our reputation, is Brantley's a grateful man. Wyatt Johnson's a grateful man. And he's a grateful woman. We want people to look at us and say those things about us. As people of God, we should be the most generous, the most grateful, the most joyful people on the planet. We should really be that way. We should be that way everywhere, every day we live. Every day we go to work, people should look at us and say, God, so grateful, so full of joy. We've been given everything, everything. How many of you know from the minute that you gave your life to Christ, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that after that, everything else that happens to you is not a big deal, negatively. Everything from that point on, everything else in life is like icing on the cake. The cake was that day when you got him. And that can never, ever be taken from you. Nobody can ever steal your relationship with God and your salvation. You live this life for a short time, and then you get to be with him forever. How can we not be grateful? We are called to be grateful. We are called to this. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24. And hear what Paul says. Y'all with me? Y'all are quiet today. Miss Cheryl, I'm going to need you to amen a little bit more here. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. What a great verse. What a great prayer. You can take that prayer and pray that over somebody. It's God's will for us to be thankful, he said, in all circumstances, all of them. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for us. Gratitude is another one of those attributes that can set you apart. I've been saying this a lot lately, whether it be service or being generous. These type of things, gratitude is another one of them. When you see somebody who's truly thankful, it sets them apart. It goes against the grain. The world is not grateful. Just by nature, my flesh is not grateful at all by nature. It's the Holy Spirit in me that would make me grateful. Therefore, when Christ is living in us and people see our gratitude, they're going to say, these are the people of God. It's just something else that sets you apart. When you have a lack of gratitude, you're living in some type of deception. Do you understand that? When you can't find a way to be thankful in your life for some reason, you have been deceived. And that, you need to know this. This is something that can be helpful to you when you're walking around and you're grumbling, belly aching. I've done it a million times. And you're just feeling sorry for yourself. You need to understand you have fallen into some type of deception. Because when we really know who we are and what we've been saved from and who our God is and who we belong to,
we would never be ungrateful. Therefore, if you've fallen into that in some kind of way, some kind of a grumbling or you're just ungrateful, you need to know that you're being deceived. And you need to go back. You need to go back to the source. You need to go back and remember what all He's done for you. Amen? A grateful heart is a mark of God on your life. A grateful heart, thankful heart is a mark of God on our lives. Our flesh does not produce that. Great men and women all through Scripture were known to be thankful. Our Lord Jesus was thankful. He gave thanks for in all circumstances, all throughout the Scripture. Jesus, every time He talked to God, He was thankful for every meal. I read just here yesterday, Him raising Lazarus from the dead. Before He raised him, He thanked God. He thanked God always. He thanked God at the Last Supper when He knew that He was going to be crucified. He took the time to be thankful. He thanked the Father for the disciples, and He thanked the Father for us, the believers, the ones who would come. Christ lived a life of thanksgiving, and we too are called to be thankful in everything. Gratitude produces joy in us. Tell you, if you're lacking joy, you should probably go back to gratitude and find out where you're lacking in gratitude. When we lack gratitude, it's clear that we're living in deception, or that we have forgotten about what we have been saved from. Every time that I find myself being in an ungrateful place, I have spiraled inward. And we did this illustration, Pastor Murphy did this illustration years ago, and he still does it today in our men's class, of a spiral. And as it goes, it just keeps going inward. Everything Christ did was outward. But when we fall into selfishness, we begin to spiral inward. And you can't be grateful when you're only thinking about yourself. We become ungrateful when we're usually jealous of what somebody else has. Or we're constantly thinking about what we don't have. This is something that you can train yourself to not do. David said, early in the morning I rise. He said, I enter your gates with thanksgiving. So he started early because he knew that he could fall into it. He knew that he was in danger of falling in to a lack of gratitude. But we can't ever be focusing on what everybody else has and what we don't have. That's what the world does. The pagans chase after all of those things. We have to find ourselves being not only just content with what we have, but joyful in everything that we have. If you have Him, there's no reason not to be joyful, not to be grateful. Amen? We are called to be grateful. Let's turn to Luke 7 and see the appropriate response of gratitude. Luke 7, 36 through 50. Such a great story. I love this story. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of them both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt," he answered. "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loved little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who can forgive sin?" Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What a great story. Mary is a great example of true gratitude and thankfulness. She held nothing back. She held nothing back. I always think about that story and just think how difficult it must have been for Mary. Everybody knew who she was, apparently. And she had to, like Christ, scorn the shame, walk in amongst all these men, and pour her life out. She not only really humbled herself, almost humiliated herself, it seems, kissing his feet, pouring out this alabaster that they said was worth a year's salary. You know how much money that is for anybody? A year's salary? And wept enough that her tears were washing his feet. And she did this in a meeting that seems to be all men. And like I said, everybody knew who she was. They all knew what she had done. And she didn't care. She was so thankful, so overwhelmed with love and gratitude for her Savior. Because she knew what she had been forgiven. That was the difference, wasn't it? She knew. Simon had just as much to be forgiven. He just didn't know it. That's why her sins were forgiven. And that's why this story is told every time anybody preaches, is because it was shocking how much she was, how thankful she was, how grateful she was. I think that's the appropriate response to what he's done for us. How many times have you wept in gratitude for what Christ has done for you? It's the appropriate response every day. She is the great example. She is a great example of somebody who is truly thankful and understood what she had been saved from and who she was and what she was before she met him. She wasn't afraid to be embarrassed. She wasn't afraid to be ashamed. All she wanted to do was give him everything she had that day. And Christ loved it. He loved it. May we all be like Mary. We have every reason to be thankful all the time. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a clean slate. There's nothing against us. We have the body of Christ to help us along the way. We have His words. And if that wasn't enough, He gave us His Spirit to live in us. We have hope because of Him. We are sustained because of Him. Nothing can take Him away from us. There's nothing in this life greater than what you have found in Christ. There's nothing you could ever gain in life more than what you've gained in Christ. There is nothing. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? If you did, there would not be a day that you weren't thankful. You can win millions of dollars, and I promise you, without Him, you would be miserable. You would still be miserable. I have never had $1 million. But I remember being young and thinking that when I was first with Mary with Lee, I thought if I just had X amount of dollars. You know how it is. If I just had this much, we'd be set. And I'd never be upset again. I would be good. Then you get that extra zero added on your check, and you look back and you're still unhappy, and you don't know why. And as you get a little bit older, you start realizing it's because you're chasing material things, and there's nothing that can give you eternal joy like He can. That's why I'm up here preaching, and that's why these older people that are still here coming to church, it's because they've learned that lesson. The faster you learn it when you're young, the better off you'll be. And we'll be chasing material things. We have to be grateful. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving in your heart? How are you going to give some? How are you going to be like your Savior this year? How are you going to be like your King, Jesus? Are you going to give something? Are you going to do something out of the ordinary? Are you going to serve somebody? Are you going to bless somebody? Are you going to take a little more time to spend with God? What are you going to do this year for Thanksgiving? Or are you expecting somebody just to come feed you some turkey? We want to be like Him, right? We want to be able to give all. We want to be like Mary. We want to be like Brother Jerry. We want people to look at us and say, what a grateful person. What a thankful person. Not just in word, but in deed. In what we do. Amen? Amen. Alright, stand up and I'll pray for you guys. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. It's a great day. When we come back next Sunday, we got testimony. Misty? All righty, let's pray. Lord, we love You and we are thankful, Father. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful in everything, Father, in all circumstances like we're commanded to be. We have everything. You've given us all things Your Word says. Father, I pray that You fill us with gratitude. We love You. We love Your people. We love Your ways, Lord. I pray that You bless this week and You let everybody be truly grateful on Thanksgiving. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. You're dismissed.